Chapter 14. Heat. Intense, sweltering heat suddenly overtook my body, and I groggily opened my eyes. I was lying face down, flat on the ground, as bright light shone into my peripheral vision and nearly blinded me. And when I placed my palms flat out on the ground to lift myself up to my feet, I felt a jolt of pain as the hot, hard surface burned my hands.
"Yah!"
I gasped as I quickly jumped to my feet and then shook my hands to try and stop the pain. However, the painful sensation vanished in a flash, as I soon realized I wasn't in Ada's club anymore. In fact, I had no fucking clue where I was. The searing hot sun beat down on me from the blue sky above, and all around me were streets and houses made up of a strange, tan-like clay substance. The houses were all about 2 stories high, with flat roofs and crude open windows, without any glass whatsoever. Palm trees swayed along with the breeze every few dozen feet, and off in the distance I could see a large perimeter wall made up of the same substance as the houses. Even further off there were massive bronze humanoid statues that sat on each side of the wall's entrance. And then far beyond the city's perimeter, the landscape was lined with sandy patches of earth and mountains of varying sizes. A desert. I certainly wasn't in Kansas anymore. The entire world looked like I was seeing it through a lens smeared with Vaseline. I could make out the shapes and colors of everything around me, but it somehow felt like the edges of their figures were nebulous and without defined lines. Even the sun's rays seemed to be distorted, and I saw the heat in the air around me as if it were constantly being reflected off dark pavement on the highway. Was this part of Naomi's spell, or was I just tripping balls? What was even stranger was that all around me there were people in strange clothes. The men I saw all wore white linen tunics, tied off with rope belts around their waists, and crude brown sandals covered their feet. Other men were completely shirtless, and the only piece of clothing they had on their bodies was a white skirt that hung down to their knees. Most of them were either bald or with very short hair, and almost all of them had a short tuft of hair on their chins. The women around me also wore white tunics, which draped around their bodies like a sort of primitive dress. Their hair was much longer than the men's, and they all seemed to wear eyeliner. A few of the women's tunics only came up to just below their breasts, so their beautiful dark bosoms were on full display for all to see. But nobody seemed to care, and everybody in the city went about their day as if it were completely normal. Then all of my knowledge from my college courses came back to me like a ton of bricks. Ancient Egypt. I was in ancient Egypt. This didn't make any sense, though. Naomi's spell was supposed to allow me to communicate with the ancient ones, not send me on a journey through time. Or was this one of the ancient ones' methods of communication? Had they dragged me backwards through time via some sort of interdimensional portal? Or was this all in my head, like a vision? The pain from the hot sidewalk definitely felt real, though nobody seemed to pay any attention to me. A dude who was walking around in an ancient city wearing modern-day clothes. Or maybe somebody at Cincy's Jewel had drugged my drink. That was honestly the most reasonable explanation at this point. No matter why or how I was in ancient Egypt, I couldn't just stand around here all day. The sun was absorbing through the dark fabric of my shirt like crazy, and I could already feel the beads of sweat seeping out of every pore in my body. At the very least, I needed to get out of the street and find some shade. But then maybe I could figure out exactly why I was here and what I needed to do next. I quickly dashed over to one of the nearby palm trees and then stood up, as close to its trunk as I possibly could. The tree leaves offered a bit of protection from the sun's rays, but I knew it was only temporary, and the sun would eventually shift enough so the shade would be completely gone. Maybe I could take shelter in one of these buildings. I took a deep breath, and then I ran across the street to one of the nearby square structures. The doors of these places were made up of nothing but a bit of thatched hay, so I gently pulled it toward me and then slipped inside, only to be greeted by an angry man shouting at me in what I assumed was the ancient Egyptian language.
"Sorry,"
I said, even though I didn't know if he'd understood me or not.
"Sorry."
I guess I wasn't completely invisible then. I opened up the door and went back out into the street, and I proceeded to look around for any other sort of place where I could catch my breath for a few minutes. Just down the street I could see a small space full of greenery, with several people sitting around on pristine green grass and playing some strange game on the ground. And trees. Lots and lots of trees. with lots of shade. I guess that would work as good as anything. As I started down the street, I could feel the sweat running down my back like I was a human version of Niagara Falls. I couldn't take this shit any longer, and I needed to get this dark shirt off my back as soon as possible. So I yanked it off, slung it around my waist, and wrapped it up like a soccer mom's sweater. When in Rome, I suppose. Even though I was much cooler now, the sun still stung my flesh as I headed toward the little park. But before I could get to my destination, something caught my eye. There, right outside the doorway of one of the dwellings, sat a bronze statue of a cat. Not just any cat, though. It was a panther. I noticed a few more buildings along the street had similar statues, and the gears in my brain started to whirl as realization washed over me like a tidal wave. Bast! Whatever this city was, the people who lived here were a part of the cult of Bast. My blood seemed to run cold as my heart stopped in my chest. Was that why I was here? Was the same goddess who created me now trying to communicate with me? And if so, why was she being so confusing about it? I continued onward to the park, where I approached a group of ladies who were sitting around in a circle in the grass. "Excuse me?" I started and hoped they actually understood my language. "This may sound like a silly question, but do you know where I can find, Bast?"
"Bast?"
one of the women gasped, and then she said something in ancient Egyptian. "That's right." I nodded as I started to use some aggressive hand talk. "I'm looking for Bast. Do you know where I can find her?" The women glanced at each other with total confusion on their faces. Finally, one of them looked up at me with her dark brown eyes, nodded, and then pointed off to the east.
"Bast,"
she said firmly. I followed the woman's gesture and saw she was pointing down one of the nearby streets, and at the very end of the pathway stood a building much larger than the others in the city, with a pointed roof and two towers that stood on either side of the main doorway. "That's where Bast is," I asked.
"Bast?"
the woman nodded. I suppose that made sense. If the people in this city worshipped Bast, then it was only natural they would have a temple dedicated to the goddess. The only question was if the women understood my question. Did they think I wanted to find Bast in a spiritual sense, or did they understand I actually wanted to physically find the panther goddess? Either way, the temple was the best place to start. I thanked the women and then began walking toward the large building to the east of the park. Every inch of my body was now drenched in sweat from the hot Egyptian summer, and my head started to spin as the world around me began to distort and wobble like it was made of rubber. I stopped in my tracks and leaned up against a nearby building, and then I took a few long, deep breaths as I tried to recompose myself. Still, the world was distorted, and now my nose picked up the faint scent of myrrh wafting out of the buildings around me. Midday. The Egyptians burned myrrh at midday. That explained the fucking unbearable heat. Still, I couldn't stop now. I needed to get to the temple and then figure out what the fuck I was going to do next. I didn't even want to start thinking about how I was going to get out of this place, but it was something I was going to have to figure out eventually. So I continued on toward the temple. As I drew closer, I saw just how much these people loved Bast. There were citizens gathered all around the exterior of the structure, and they were on their knees as they wailed and prayed in the direction of the temple. There were hieroglyphic images all over the outside of the temple, and I recognized several different depictions of cats in the visual chaos. A massive panther sculpture made out of sandstone stood to the right of the temple door, just at the top of the flight of stairs that led up to the main plaza. And the animal was depicted in a crouched state, with its mouth open in a snarl, and its claws unsheathed and at the ready. Once I got to the bottom of the stairs, I let out a long, annoyed groan. The temple itself was frickin' huge, and the only way to get up to the main entrance was by climbing this flight of stairs that made the ones in Ace Ventura seem like a brisk exercise. I really wished Ada had been able to come along on this journey, since she could just pick me up and carry me to the top. For a brief moment, I considered transforming into my werepanther form and running up with my enhanced dexterity, but I decided against it. Even though none of these people made a big deal about the fact that I was dressed in strange clothes and spoke a language that wouldn't exist for another few thousand years, I didn't think they'd be able to ignore an 8-foot-tall panther running around, so I made the climb in my human form. And fuck, it was awful. I could already feel the dull twinge of a sunburn on my bare flesh, and for half a second, I considered putting my shirt back on. It was a rough predicament to be in, since I basically had to choose between sunburn or heatstroke. Then there was the fact that I was still under the influence of whatever the fuck had brought me here. Each step I took was a bit wobbly, and I had to stop and correct my balance before I dared to lift my other foot from its position. Time felt like it dragged on and on, even though I knew I hadn't been climbing for more than 10 minutes. Eventually I reached down and pulled out my cell phone, and then I started to get curious. The battery was still at 70%, and it seemed to be operating like normal with its clock display and notifications, but the little bars in the top right were replaced with a small X. Damn it. For a brief moment, I wondered if I could call Naomi or Janine and see if they could figure out what was going on, but now I realized that wherever I wasn't in my own world. Which meant I didn't have anybody to lean on for this one. I needed to figure it out on my own. My legs ached as I continued up the large set of stairs, until finally, after about 40 minutes of walking, I arrived at the entrance. I instantly fell down onto my knees and let out a long, relieved sigh when I got there, but the heat on the ground made me jump back to my feet pretty damn quick. Every muscle in my legs felt like they were on fire, and my skin was already turning as red as a lobster. But I had made it. There were a few dozen people on this plaza, all in various states of devotion. Several of them were on their hands and knees, while a few others gave me strange glances before they went about their business talking to each other. The panther statue was even more colossal now that I was up close. It appeared to be at least 50 feet tall and equally as long, and I could see there was a small bit of smoke that billowed out of the statue's open mouth. Its eyes glowed red from the fire burning inside its belly, and I could feel the heat radiating off of it from all the way over here. I groggily began to head toward the doorway of the temple. My eyes took a minute to adjust to the shift in light as I walked through the threshold, but my ears immediately picked up the soft, soothing sound of a gentle drumbeat, accompanied by the occasional rattle. The temple smelled sweet like honey and milk, and a soothing sensation started to overcome my very being. When my eyes finally adjusted, however, my jaw hit the fucking floor. The interior of the temple was filled with panther statues made of solid gold in various sizes and poses. Man-made waterfalls cascaded over gold and tan structures, and then down into crystal-clear pools, many of which contained topless women, who giggled as they playfully washed each other. The pool on the other side of the temple, though, wasn't exactly as inviting as the first, since it was filled with crocodiles. But the reptilian animals didn't appear to be aggressive. They all just floated around in the water as they kept themselves cool and relaxed in the afternoon heat, though occasionally they would let out a deep grunt or a hiss to let the others know not to come any closer to them. Then there was the focal point of the room, a throne made of dark gemstones, with golden hieroglyphics detailed around its perimeter. Two tall, buff, shirtless men stood on either side of the throne, with oversized palm leaves, and they fanned the person in the chair with slow, gentle motions. It was a woman. She wore a very thin white tunic that was pretty much see-through. Her large breasts heaved with each sultry breath she took, and her nipples were so hard they threatened to tear through the fabric covering them. At the top of her tunic was a Uisk collar made of gold and covered with purple and black gemstones in long horizontal parallel lines. The woman's hair was about chin length and black as night, though she wore a golden headband that added a pop of color to her ensemble. Her eyes were also a vibrant green, and I could clearly make out her irises from all the way down here. What stood out to me most, however, were her ears. Though she had a round humanoid face, she had cat ears nearly half the size of her head. Her thick, dark lips were twisted into a sly smile, and she made a beckoning gesture when she noticed I was looking at her.
"Come, Carter Hatfield,"
she said in a deep, commanding voice.
"I've been expecting you."
Fuck me, did I really have to go up another flight of stairs? Also, I needed to make sure this wasn't a trap. For all I knew, I just passed out from exhaustion, and the Shadow Man was attempting to lure me in so he could take me out without a fight. "Who are you?" I asked the woman, even though I had a pretty good idea.
"You know who I am, Carter,"
the woman smirked.
"That's why you came to my temple, and that is why you had your friends send you to me in the first place."
"Bast?" I gulped, and the woman nodded.
"I'm so happy to finally meet you face to face, Carter,"
Bast said, as she gestured for her servants to stop fanning her.
"Obviously, I've been watching you for quite some time, but but I've never had the opportunity to speak to you like this before.
How do I know you're real? I feel like I'm having a fucking fever dream right now, and this all seems a bit too convenient.
Convenient?
Bast snorted.
You say that as if you weren't just asking your witch friend to reach out to me. This is far from a convenient coincidence, my child. You wanted to speak to an ancient one, and now you have your opportunity.
Where am I? Is this another plane of existence, or was I really transported back through time?
Neither.
The goddess shook her head.
You are currently lying on the floor of your nightclub in Cincinnati, Ohio, where your friends are frantically trying to wake you.
So, this is a vision? I pondered aloud.
You could call it that.
Bast shrugged.
I tend to think of it more as a mental message. Though you are asleep right now, I am physically in front of you, and you are physically in front of me. If that makes sense.
Not at all, but I'll take your word for it.
Good. Now please, come up to me so we can discuss these matters further.
Something still felt off about this whole situation. Even if this was Bast, I wasn't going to just bow down to her. Not without some answers first. I think I'm good down here. I shrugged.
Always the stubborn one.
Bast rolled her emerald eyes.
I suppose that's why you're one of the few who have survived for so long.
One of the few? Was she implying there were other werepanthers out there that had escaped the OLG's wrath?
You will bow before your creator,
one of the shirtless men snarled.
Or my brother and I will make you bow.
Try it, I warned the guards, as I forced my eyes to transform into their intense green form. I'll tear your scrawny asses apart like you're a frickin' paper doll.
Don't be so sure,
the other guard spat, and then his eyes began to glow. The two bodyguards both fell down onto their hands and knees, and then their already muscular bodies started to get even more ripped. Their figures became covered with thick jet-black hair, as their faces turned into snouts, and their hands became thick paws. And within seconds, I was staring up at two werepanthers. Werepanthers nearly double the size of me when I was in that form. You know? I joked with an awkward chuckle. That one's on me. I totally should have figured you'd have werepanther bodyguards because, well, of course you would.
Their growl is worse than their bite,
Bast said with a wink.
Now please, Carter, come up here so we can talk properly.
What the hell? Even if I kept being a hard ass and refusing, those two giant werepanthers would just come down here and drag me up to Bast. And even though I was confident with my abilities, I wasn't so certain I could take on two creatures that were double my size at the same time. Especially when I was alone. So I decided to do things the easy way. I walked up the stairs, though I moved slowly, to keep my muscles from cramping up. Even so, my legs felt fatigued by the time I made it to the top. The sheer beauty of Bast, however, made me forget all of my pain. Her eyes were surrounded by dark blue eyeshadow, and the mascara on her eyelashes matched her jet-black hair. On the center of her face was a broad-tipped nose that sat just between her rounded eyes, and the goddess's lips were full and dark, though only a slight shade darker than her honey-colored flesh. Her vibrant green eyes were almost hypnotic as they stared into my soul, and I found myself getting lost in them without much effort.
One of my finest specimens.
Bast purred as she tapped my nose playfully.
Now, please tell me, why did you call for me?
Come on. You know why I want to communicate with you.
Actually, no, I don't.
The panther goddess shook her head and patted the two werepanther guards on their heads.
You must understand, Carter, that I monitor many things in both your world and mine. I check in on you frequently, but I do not watch you at all times. Though I would assume this is about Kekuatu.
See? You did know after all.
What do you wish to know about the servant of Kek?
Well, I said with a frown. He's been terrorizing me and my friends in our sleep for the last few days, courtesy of the OLG.
Khonsu's dung-slurping slaves.
Bast spat, and her two guards growled in response.
This is not the first time they've done something so dishonorable, and it will not be the last. Actually, what am I talking about? Khonsu has no honor, so it's no surprise his servants don't either.
I need to know his true form. That's the only way he can be killed.
Indeed.
Bast nodded.
Though you make it sound much easier than it really will be. Kekuatu has survived this long thanks to his ruthless, slimy nature, and nobody has been able to kill him yet.
Good thing I'm not nobody, then.
I said with a smirk.
I've always admired your confidence.
Bast purred.
Though there is a fine line between confidence and cockiness.
And I straddle it perfectly.
That is the truth. I will tell you Kakuatu's true form, my child. Though he is a shapeshifter by nature, he was created by Kek as a large serpent. In fact, he looks an awful lot like my beloved crocodiles. You met them, correct?
They were quite charming. I lied. Okay, so the Shadow Man's true form is a giant killer crocodile, but he's a shapeshifter. How do we get him to turn, and how do we keep him from just transforming back to a creepy child or an old hag or Freddy fucking Krueger once he has?
I believe that is more than one question,
Bast said with a coy grin.
But I will allow it. Actually, I'm surprised your revealing eye enchantment hasn't manifested yet. It's one of my absolute favorite abilities I give to you werepanthers.
All I can do is talk to animals and sneak around silently and change at will, I said as my brow furrowed. I'm guessing I'm not too far into my progression tree to get whatever you're talking about.
Your abilities will come to you at random,
Bast continued.
As you kill other paranormal creatures. However, in this particular case, I believe I can bend the rules for you just a smidge. Come forth, my child.
Bast beckoned for me to step forward, so I walked up to her as close as I could. The second I was within reach, Bast placed her soft, silky hands on my cheeks and raised my eyes up to meet hers. Then she slowly leaned in close and pressed her plump lips against both of my eyelids and my forehead. As she did so, I sensed something entering my body. It almost felt like I was being possessed, as whatever it was moved through my skull and then down to my heart, where it then dissipated throughout my entire body. What just happened?
I gave you the power to cast a revealing eye enchantment. Now you may use your panther eyes and magic to see through veiling spells, hexes, and even human-made deceptions like fake fur or artificial personalities.
Holy shit! You basically just gave me the glasses from They Live.
Please.
The goddess smirked.
Where do you think they got the idea from?
Huh. How does the enchantment work?
It's quite simple, actually. You simply look at whatever object or area you want to see in its true form, and then you command your eyes to see them. It's that easy.
I still have a question, though. So I get Kekuatu into a room with my team, and then I use this spell to reveal his true form. Does that mean my friends can't see him?
They cannot.
Bast shook her head.
They would be able to hurt him, but you would be the only one who could actually kill him, since only you would stand before his true form.
Sounded tricky, but doable. Do you have any tips on how to fight Kekuatu?
Don't get caught in his jaws.
The werepanther on the right grumbled.
Kosi found that out the hard way. He has since healed from the fight, but it was the closest I've ever come to losing him or his brother.
That was a millennia ago,
Cozy said with a huff.
I would not make the same mistake twice.
What do you think, Kareem?
Bast asked the other guard.
Do you think your brother would stand a chance against Kekuatu?
It doesn't matter,
Kareem said matter-of-factly.
From the sounds of it, Carter would take care of Kekuatu before either of us would get another chance.
Let's hope so, I nodded. What else do you have for me? What else do I need to know about Kekuatu?
His flesh is hard to penetrate,
Bast said, and then she nodded to Cozy.
He also found that out firsthand.
My claws barely got through his flesh, and my teeth, it was like I was gnawing on old leather to no avail.
Well, this complicated things. Even if I was able to see Kekuatu in his true form, I was still going to have to figure out how to get through his nearly impenetrable skin to kill him. Thankfully, I had a whole team of friends who would gladly help me figure it out. If I could even get back to them. What happens now? I asked Bast. Am I, like, trapped here for a few days? Can I just go back to where I started and walk through a portal? Do I need to click my heels 3 times and say there's no place like home?
None of that.
The goddess winked.
In fact, I think your friends are about to give you a wake-up call right about...
Suddenly, I felt a splash of ice-cold water hit my face, and my eyes sprang open as I shot up like my torso was attached to a spring.
Carter!
Janine gasped, and then her arms wrapped around my neck.
Oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
Naomi trailed off with a mixture of fear and relief in her voice.
Thank fuck!
Leah said as she walked up behind Janine.
We thought you were never going to wake up! And that is why I would have advised you against using this spell!
Janine growled as she let go and shot Naomi a look that could peel paint.
You two could have killed him.
I'm fine, I promised the paranormal archaeology student. Actually, I'm better than fine. I was able to speak with Bast. All the tension in the room evaporated in an instant, and the four women turned to me with raised eyebrows as their jaws hit the floor.
Bast?
Ada asked.
As in, the panther goddess, Bast?
The one and only. Apparently she heard our call and wanted to reach out to me and offer her guidance.
Fuck.
Naomi whispered as her dark eyes widened.
I didn't think you would get to talk to Bast herself. I thought it'd be one of the more random lesser gods.
Nope. I shook my head and smiled. It was her, all right, and she gave me some really, really important advice.
What was that? Did she tell you about Kekuatu?
And then some. She told me how to get him back into his true form and then how to kill that motherfucker once and for all. I spent the next few minutes explaining my experience to the women, who sat there and listened with pure curiosity on their faces.
A built-in disenchantment spell,
Ada said once I had finished.
Of course werepanthers have that.
What happens now, then? Do we try to go after the Shadow Man again?
That's exactly what we'll do. Somebody grab the melatonin, because we're going to bring the Shadow Man to us on our terms.